Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity.
Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of our Abound in Hope podcast with Imprint Church. It's great to have you here today. My name is Darren. I'm here sitting with
Tom Regan
and
Kayla Kirkbride.
And it's wonderful to gather together to chat today about discipleship. And it's fun because we're going to spend some time over these next couple weeks and just talking about the idea of discipleship and what it means specifically for various ages and stages of life. And so we talked a little bit last week about families. This week will be about women, and next week will be about men. And then we'll break it down into further categories as we go forward in our podcast here. But what's fun is having a new person with us today, and that's Kayla Kirkbride. And so, Kayla, would you tell us just briefly about yourself?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me. I have been married to Brandon for almost 14 years, and we have four kids. And I became a Christian through two of my high school friends. They started inviting me to youth group events, and we became really good friends. And then I came to know Christ after that.
That's awesome. How many kids do you have?
I have four.
Four kids. Mm-hmm. You're busy.
Busy mom. Yep.
That's very cool. Well, you also serve as the Imprint Woodinville women's lead. And so she's been on our team for, a year and a half or something like that, right?
Probably close to, coming up on a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. It's been wonderful to have you as part of our team, and you've offered a ton. And so what's cool is to get your insights on women's ministry and ministry to women today. And so, you know, it's true that discipleship looks different at every age and stage of life, I think. I thought of the light bulb principle that I read a book by Larry Osborne years ago that he talks about. The idea of discipleship changes through every part of your life. And he uses the idea of a rheostat on a light dimmer, where sometimes the light is turned pretty low for us if we're new Christians and we see certain things that need growth and development in our lives in Christ. And that's for new Christians. But as you grow in your faith, he turns, you know, God kind of turns the rheostat up a little bit, if you will, and things get brighter and you see more things in your life where you need to work on and grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ, more sin to be repented of, more ways to walk in holiness, more things to change about our character. And so, and what's interesting is not only about new and old Christians, but it also is about men and women and teenagers and children and all of that as well. And so it's kind of cool to spend a few minutes talking about discipleship today. So let me just ask you a really broad question to kick off. What do you think of when you think of discipleship?
Yeah. So there's a couple different ways that I think about discipleship. The first is personal discipleship and what it means to be a disciple. And in the New Testament, we have the example of the 12 disciples who were Jesus's friends and followers. And these were the men who learned from Jesus. They ate and drank with him, traveled with him, lived alongside him for the purpose of becoming like him. And they were students of Jesus, but even more so, they were apprentices to him in kingdom living by applying what they had learned to change their way of life.
Good.
And we're called to do the same, to be disciples of Jesus who study scripture, but for the purpose of life transformation, to become more like Jesus in character and action.
So in that sense, it's really interesting to talk about women's discipleship, because it's not a lot different than men's discipleship in that way.
Right, yeah.
But, and so it's kind of interesting, but there are stages of life where we learn in different ways. But to put it as a category, all Christians everywhere are called to discipleship, and that's important.
But there's going to be unique circumstances and life experiences and, you know, that, that make ministry to or with women different from the way that you're going to be doing that with or two men. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I also think what's interesting is that we can be discipled in so many different things in our lives. And we were just talking a minute ago before we turned the recording on here about how our, you know, maybe screens or talk radio or things we're watching or hearing are discipling us in so many different ways, you know. And so, and I suppose that changes for every person depending on what radio station you listen to, what website you tune into, what newscast you you jump into, if you will. And so I think in that sense it's really important for us to be people who are really aware of what we're paying attention to. And so for women in particular, I want to kind of hear about kind of your heart for women within the context of the church, what your desire is for them, what you think is important most of all for you know, women discipleship in their lives.
Yeah. So, well, to start with my heart for women, this fall we're doing a study on the book of Jude. Mm. And the letter opens with this verse that says, "To those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you." Mm. And just my passion for women and women discipleship, I guess, begins there, that we would all understand that we are called into relationship with God, that we are deeply loved by him and kept in his abounding grace and mercy. And while this is a divine invitation, life is hard. And one of my favorite sayings is adulting is hard.
I remember you saying that to me a long time ago. Yeah. It stuck with me.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And we are easily swayed into living for ourselves, to believing our own truth. And this is where the importance of discipleship in women's ministry comes into play. And there's a quote I just recently read, Recapturing the Wonder by Mike Cosper. Mm. And it says, it's actually the last paragraph, so it's just an excellent wrap up.
You guys couldn't see this, but Rex, who is recording us, just threw both hands in the air as soon as Kayla said that she read that book by Mike Cosper.
He apparently likes it.
So it must be good.
He's nodding. He can't say anything. You it's a great microphone. Book. What are you doing?
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Kayla. So, you quote. Back
this quote says, so grace is easy, life is hard. So follow Jesus if you must. Seek the face of God if you must. But don't be surprised if after a while it feels like you've been battling angels in the darkness. Seeking God's face in a fallen world is not the easy life. It's the good life. And the good life is always a life of worthwhile stories and worthwhile struggles. And so that really captures just what I would hope for women's ministry, is that it's a place of discipleship and relationship and those friendships that does just that, that continually reminds us that the struggle for the good life in Christ is worth it.
Yeah, it's interesting you'd mentioned that discipleship in that context of that quote is the good life. Mm-hmm. And that, I think a lot of times people think of discipleship kind of connected to the word discipline, if you will, and how it's hard and difficult. And sometimes following Jesus is quite difficult and quite hard, but it's also the best. The thing that God is calling us to is actually the good that he wants us to live. That's kind of a cool.
Or they reduce discipleship to the transformation of knowledge, of Bible knowledge, which is necessary for living the kind of life that Jesus has for us, but it kind of keeps it up in the realm of our heads.
Yeah.
It doesn't so much transfer over into actually a way of life. And so I think I hear you saying, Kayla, is there's a way of life, you know, in following Jesus, which requires knowledge, but discipleship is not just, hey, read these books, fill out these Bible study workbooks, and you're on your way to discipleship. Well, it's a part of it.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So talk about that. Talk about kind of the life on life thing with women. Mm-hmm. I think that's been a big part of things I've heard you talk about before. You know, like to kind of the idea of Matthew 28 as well, and going into all the world and discipling all people. Mm-hmm. How have you seen that played out into your life of discipleship and being a disciple of Christ as well?
And thinking of discipleship, I also think of helping others discover the way of Christian living. So in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus commands, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So in thinking about how we do life together, from this verse, we just see how discipleship reflects the position we can have as teachers in sharing the good news of the gospel with non-believers or new believers, and then teaching them what it means to engage the world and life from a Christian perspective, which we're all still learning to do all the time.
Right, totally.
And in looking specifically at how this has happened in my life, I look to Titus 2, and when we have that encouragement that says that older women are to train up younger women, I think of my relationship I've had with Kim Etriide here in our church. And we just started meeting together, and she was so generous with her time. And I know it was something that maybe she was reluctant to do in the beginning, but I have learned so much from her, and just her sharing her time and space with me as she's walked through life alongside me. And specifically, Titus 2 says that older women are to train up the younger women, and they are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. And I think that, you know, older women are called to teach us not because they did it perfectly, but because they have walked through this stage of life and have perspective. whether those are triumphs or regrets. I think the knowledge can be shared either as wisdom or redeemed wisdom.
So Kim didn't take you through a workbook and teach you how to love Brandon, right?
She just...
So how did you experience like discipleship and Kim sort of teaching you? Was it like modeling? Yeah. Was it through conversation? Like, how did you learn from Kim is, I guess, my question.
So she just listened a lot too. You know, I would share what was hard about what I was going through, and she listened, and then we would walk back to scripture together, and she would... Hmm. Teach me what scripture said. And she was honest too in things that, maybe didn't do, I didn't do this necessarily the right way, but this is what I've learned through having walked this life before. Right.
And this happened in her home or your home or
in her home. Yeah. And actually I had a little baby. And so I think we got together on like Saturday morning at 6 a.m. She woke up for me to meet with me. And
that's commitment.
Yeah.
That's a commitment. Yeah. So, for those of you who may not know, Kim Itriide served as our women's lead here at Imprint Woodinville for several years and ended up kind of passing the torch off to Kayla in a really cool and generous way. And that was a cool story for our church.
Which is awesome to then see Kayla step into this role of leadership for women's ministry here in the church, knowing that Kim had poured into you, Kayla.
Absolutely.
I love how, so I just made a connection between your Mike Cosper quote and Titus 2:4, where it says the older women that they are to teach what is good. And you just talked about the good life, you know, I mean, there's something cool about that little connection that I see is super beautiful there, you know, that this is for the good and the flourishing of women, you know, so that they train younger women to love husbands and children, to be self-control, all of these things that are there. These are the good things about discipleship, which I find super compelling.
And it's a really good illustration of where Kayla, you know, had said that this is life on life kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. So that's a good word. So let me ask another question. So kind of moving forward into this avenue of women's ministry, what do you think are some unique issues that women face as disciples of Christ in our modern world? So, because I think all that stuff is really good and really stuff we have to absorb and start doing. And it's hard in our modern world to have life on life right now.
Absolutely.
But but what are some unique issues for women right now that you kind of see?
So this one's tough because I think our struggles are as diverse as we are. So I kind of picked three that I personally have had a hard time with as being a disciple. And so I wanted to talk about those. And those were busyness, emotions, and perfection.
Ooh.
And so the first is busyness. And we live in a culture that fills, burns, and demands time. And a lot of us are parents of young kids, and time is kind of just this blanket over the day. And while a lot of what we fill our day with may not be optional, there's always room to be disciplined about being a disciple of Jesus. But it is just that it's a discipline, and it requires routine and intentionality and doing it even when we don't feel like it, because it leads to the good life.
Yeah, good. Good. Yeah.
I don't remember who said it, but I think there was a pastor who said, if Facebook has taught us anything, it's that we in fact do have time.
Absolutely. Totally.
If you think about that, so that word intentionality that you use, Kayla, is like, we actually do have time. And you can go, if you have an iPhone or an iOS device, you can look at your screen time, and it'll tell you exactly how much time you use.
Disturbing for me right now.
What if I would have done better things with my time than that?
Yeah, totally. So busyness is the first one. Emotions was your second one. Talk to us a little bit about emotions.
So emotions, that one's tricky. And I think we just often fail to remember that, like the rest of our bodies and minds, our emotions are also corrupted by the fall. And we often look for some emotional response to tell us whether our relationship with God is successful or not, which just isn't true. And honestly, I think for many of us, that's one of Satan's biggest victories in our lives, is that we don't feel the right feelings when we read the Bible or pray, and therefore we just lose the wonder and awe of who God is.
There's a lot of lessons to learn in that, I think. I think a lot of people, that's probably not even specifically a women's thing. It's probably both for women and men in that way, because we're all very emotional as people, and God's created us emotions. So it's hard to figure out how to allow our emotions to be the thing that's not driving us, but actually is helping us and giving us cues and good cues and not just bad ones. But I appreciate you mentioned that for women as well. So again, so it was busyness, emotions, and the third one was...
The pursuit of perfection.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I think this one affects both personal discipleship and then also our discipleship to one another. So the first, or the personal discipleship, being that we don't feel worthy of God and are hesitant then to accept his grace and mercy because of our imperfection. But then
which
also,
I think is a prerequisite, right, for receiving grace, right?
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, sorry.
No. So, and then as discipleship to each other, and as specifically amongst women, I think we have, or and I especially have, you know, have this prideful desire to, you know, you want to like wear this badge that says I've got this, like I don't need help, I've got this put together, when we don't. But then at the same time, we're tragically projecting or falsely assuming the perfection of everyone else around us, kind of like the Facebook situation.
Comparison.
Yep. And it just creates this chasm of silence where we're all afraid to voice our struggles because of the non-existent perfection of everyone around us. Yeah.
I remember talking recently with our church kind of before COVID time about how what's needed in the Christian community right now is radical honesty, you know?
Absolutely.
And I remember thinking how important that was. And that's convicting to me because I'm certainly not radically honest with everyone, you know, and my struggles. And yet I see that as a unique issue for discipleship as well, which is interesting. And it's interesting.
Can I stop you there for a second?
Yes, please do.
So people choose different words. Like the word that I've often heard is transparency, because I would say, Darren, that you are a radically honest person in that when you speak,
I don't lie. You're right.
You speak the truth.
Well, maybe I do.
But you don't necessarily unveil your soul.
Yes.
Maybe is what you're saying. So
yes.
I don't know what the word is. Transparency.
Good word.
Because I think you're authentic. I don't know that you're necessarily transparent in the sense of unveiling your heart.
Yes.
And there needs to be wisdom in that.
Yeah,
right?
You've heard my struggles. I know you really well. You know my weaknesses and my strengths and how sometimes my weaknesses and strengths are combined and things like that. Yeah. So yes, I appreciate you saying that.
I just want to chip in there to say that you are radically honest in that. I believe you are a truth teller.
I appreciate that Tom doesn't think I'm a raging liar. That makes me really happy. Okay, so you've labeled these issues that are unique for women. You've said they're business, emotions, and perfections. So let's ask the question, or of the pursuit of perfection. Mm-hmm. Let's ask the question, or what are some specific things then women can do to grow in their walk with Christ if they're going to combat these things?
Yes. So the first thing I would say is read your Bible. Mm-hmm. But read your Bible with the intention of knowing who God is. Mm. Jesus is alive today and lives inside of each one of us. So like any relationship, that's going to take time and dedication. Just like if we want to have a good marriage, we know our spouse, we study them, we talk and we listen, and we and it's ongoing. You know, you don't just get married and then you're good.
Hmm.
And the same goes with our relationship with Jesus. So we need to spend time studying him, yes, but also praying, listening, and enjoying him.
Hmm.
That's one that I've recently been learning to do more. And I kind of think of, I love to hike. And I was thinking of this week that, you know, if I study hiking and I look up all the places to go and I even see pictures, there's something that's vastly different of knowing about hiking and then experience hiking. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you're up in the mountains of the Pacific Northwest and you see the fog and you see God's creation and the experience and being fatigued and climbing the mountain, you know, that the experience of what we've read and learned is so much different.
Yeah,
and
totally.
It gives you that awe of who God is.
Yeah, that's cool.
Let me ask this, and this is kind of off the cuff. So if you're reading the Bible with the intent to get to know God, and you find yourself actually meeting him, getting to know him and enjoying him, then how does that help address the issue of, say, emotions? What do you think?
Well, I think it all goes back to truth. You know, when we are able to know what is truth, what God says about himself in scripture, and be able to basically preach it back to yourself.
Mm.
You know, when we're overwhelmed by emotions, we're not thinking clearly. And those are the times that we have to rely on what is truth.
Yeah.
Who does God say he is? What has he promised?
That's good. Yeah. And that's where the emotions end up becoming you know, kind of backseat for us instead of the thing that drives us the most when you're reading it, absorbing it, and telling it to yourself as opposed to allowing to
Maybe if your mind is saturated with what is true, then your mind is fixed on those things, and then hopefully, not always the case, but hopefully there's going to be some sense in which your emotions follow.
Yes. Right? Yes, mm-hmm. Totally.
Your emotions follow.
Yep. Are there other things that you think that are specific that women can do to grow in their walk with Christ that you've thought of and you've used even in your own life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, and just a quick word on just what Tom said too, because I think that's really important to note that a lot of times we probably don't want to read the Bible or we don't want to spend time with God. But in Philippians 2:12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And I think that's really important to note that it does require our dedication, but God will work in our hearts to change our desire, to change our emotions, to honor and glorify him more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think another thing that I thought of as you were talking about just reading the Bible to get to know God is that it's tempting to read the Bible if I'm feeling a certain way emotionally, that I want to open the Bible and find something that's going to be emotionally gratifying for me. Like if I'm feeling somewhat melancholy, I want something to make me feel happy. Now, if I'm feeling anxious, I want to feel stability. Now, that's good. I mean, I think that's a worthy pursuit, that God doesn't want us worried. But sometimes I have to remind myself, like, I want to read the Bible to encounter God here and not just go looking for an emotional fix. Because honestly, much of the Bible, like, my Bible reading plan just had me in Judges. Right. I'm not feeling emotionally good about most of the stuff that's happening there.
I'm in Jeremiah.
Yeah,
and
you're
I'm
in Jeremiah.
Exodus,
I'm also in Jeremiah.
Reading about
I'm also in Jeremiah as well. So there has to be some value for us in coming to know the God of the Bible and not turn the Bible into just, you know, little, you know, like Chinese fortune cookie things that are telling me little pithy sayings or kind of like little encouragements, you know, like all the encouraging things. And there's plenty of encouragement. I'm always mining. I read my Bible, you know, in the morning, and I have my Bible reading plan, and I'm always mining it for things about God. And in some way, it always meets me. And oftentimes helps my emotions. But I think if I start with the aim of going to the Bible to help my emotions, I feel like I'm getting off track there and I can expect to ask too much of the Bible and ask it to do something for me that this passage may not be intended to do for me, if that makes sense.
Good. But it's interesting how this podcast on ministry to women has turned into a plea from us to you to read your Bible. You know, like that's most important, you know, more than anything else, get into it. And allow it to transform you. And that's the part of discipleship. It's so,
but is Bible study enough?
Right? Yeah. That's a good question. Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And so there's other ways you had mentioned even this idea of mentorship of your life and your life with Kim Itriad and things like that. I'm sure you've had other mentors as well. Like, is that still play a part in discipleship as well? Like, is that something specific that a woman can do in a walk in her walk with Christ?
Absolutely. That's actually one of the things I wanted to talk about was just either finding someone to disciple you if you feel like you need somebody, you know, older than you or wiser than you to walk alongside you and to teach you how to pray. I mean, that's one thing Kim really taught me how to do too, is teaching me how to pray for my husband, to teach me how to pray for my kids. And that's awesome. But then also on the flip side, you can reach out and offer to disciple somebody else if you've been doing this for a while and you've been a Christian. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. It doesn't mean you have to know all the right biblical answers, but just to, you know, kind of reach back and take someone's hand that's just a little bit behind you and cheer them on and point them to the good life. And, you know, God can do so much when we're stretched outside of our comfort zone. And because then we're not doing it on our own strength, we're doing it on his. So I know that people are so uncomfortable sometimes to take on that position of discipling somebody else, but we can grow so much as the one that's teaching, just as much as a person that we're the student.
That's so great. So, okay, let's kind of wrap this up with a little bit of a practical thing then. So, you know, maybe this gives you a chance to talk a little bit about what's happening with Imprint Church this fall as well with Bible studies and stuff. Like, one of the things we've been doing over the years with women at our church is women's Bible studies, and they've been exceedingly popular and I think very helpful. I've gotten a lot of great feedback about those through the years. I've never happened to attend one of those, but that's partly just because of my life station, we'll say. But tell us a little bit about the place of Bible study in the life of our church, Imprint Church, for those who attend here. You know, what is it for women? When are those happening? Maybe you can give us a little pitch for what's going on right now for our women.
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely being in the season of COVID, we're having to really think outside the box and be creative about what we can do. But I think that we need to stay motivated and to stay connected into being in scripture together. Yeah. So we are offering 2 Bible studies this fall, just in small groups. So there'll be, you know, 5 people in a group to go through the book of Proverbs or to study the book of Jude.
Cool.
And mostly it's just a time that we hope that in this time of isolation that you can just connect with women that are in your church family.
Yeah.
And to really come alongside of each other and to be honest and build those friendships and relationships that point to Jesus.
Great.
And more importantly too, I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Well, if you want to get involved in one of those Bible studies and you're not yet, you could email women@imprintchurch.org, mm-hmm. right? And get connected with you.
You mean the email address says women@imprintchurch.org.
The at sign.
Yeah, okay. Because you said if you want to get involved, you can email women@imprint.org. Like, just start emailing women and ask them.
That's
hey,
right.
What's going on?
I don't mean specific
you
women.
Mean the address.
I mean, you probably could, but yeah, yeah. I mean the women@imprintchurch.org address. And to get connected, because that email goes to you, I think, Kayla, and then you can help connect anyone, whether you're part of Imprint Bothell or Imprint Woodinville. It'd be great to have you connected in that way. And Bible studies, I think, have been exceedingly helpful for the women who've done those. We've heard multiple testimony from gals who have done those. So get involved in those. So I think we can just end with thank you, by the way, for being here. I feel like you have a wealth of wisdom and help for us, not just for women, by the way, but for women and men who are hearing the things you have to say. So I appreciate that. But do you have any kind of final encouragements or thoughts for anyone who's listening today as you think about ministry?
Yeah. So we talked a lot about discipleship today, and I just want to encourage everybody to just kind of reflect and think on your life and think about who it is that you are a disciple of, who speaks into your life, who teaches you, who challenges your character. And we are all disciples of things and various people, some good and some bad. And we should first and foremost be a disciple of Jesus. And I think when we take the time to look at that, and if we realize that we're not, that we need to claim Jesus as our teacher. And so I was reading recently this week, and I was really convicted about the verse that says, sell all you have and come and follow me. And the book was looking at it metaphorically, at what it means to sell all that you have and follow Jesus, and to sell away your to-do list, to sell away your calendar, and then add things back in the name of Jesus. And not only in a studious, knowledgeable way, but in a way that transforms your life and transforms the lives of people around you.
Good word. Yeah. Well, thank you. I think that's helpful. I think that gives us something to walk with this week for not just women, but specifically women, but also anyone who gets a chance to hear this today. So
thank you, Kayla.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Great to have you here. And thanks for joining us for our podcast. If you want to hear anything or have any questions, please email us at podcast@imprintchurch.org. And we'd be happy to answer questions or even address future things. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.